Hello, hello. Thank you for joining this Mystery Shoppers training. My name is Erica Anderson, and I am going to lead this shop today for you, or this webinar rather, on the information that I have been able to put together concerning mystery shopping. Over the years, I have noticed a transition from companies that I've worked with using the terminology mystery shopper to now using the word merchandiser when it comes to doing mystery shops. So you'll hear me use that interchangeably as I go through the information that I am presenting here today. So, what is mystery shopping? It is an effective and unique market research tool that uses professional evaluators or mystery shoppers to perform customer shopping scenarios and report on different aspects of their experience. So the feedback that you give as a mystery shopper provides valuable insights which take the mystery out of service, customer satisfaction, quality improvement, industry excellence. The different types of mystery shops that are out there are in-person, covert, in-person reveal or reward, video shops, competitor shops, franchise compliance, and web surveys. So we're going to go through each one, and I'm going to give you some information about each type of shop and what to expect. So with in-person covert shops, the shop details will provide information about what to expect during the shop based on employee training. So it's your job to provide a detailed and objective evaluation of what occurred without revealing yourself as a mystery shopper. It's really important during this type of shop that you don't tip off employees to you being present or to the fact that you are a mystery shopper. Tips on how to avoid being revealed as a mystery shopper. You always want to be inconspicuous when you're taking notes. I generally use an app in my phone and just keep that open along with other apps so I can easily switch back and forth in case someone walks by so they can't see, my notes. It's important not to take any shop instructions or evaluation materials or information into the actual shop. So, if you're doing a restaurant shop, you want to make sure that you don't have the shop instructions in front of you while you're having your order taken. As a matter of fact, don't take any information like that into a shop. And you always want to make sure that you're professional at all times, even during conflict, even during, issues where you may feel like you need to handle things a certain way. It's important to get management involved and to just remain as professional as possible because although you are an independent contractor, you are representing organizations when you do perform mystery shops. The other thing, obviously, is to never verbally admit or tip off any employees to the fact that you are a mystery shopper. So for in-person shops that are reveal or reward, at the end of this type of shop, you actually reveal yourself as a mystery shopper to the appropriate person, which usually is the manager. If an employee fails to perform a specific type of task or whatever the criteria is, you generally provide those details about who you are and what happened, as well as the company that you represent to the manager or the designated person. If the employee actually succeeded at performing those tasks, there are often incentives provided to the employee. I remember back when I was in high school, I actually worked at Subway and I was mystery shop. And at the end of the shop, the evaluator actually revealed herself to me as being a mystery shopper. And she explained that I had correctly done the things that we were being evaluated for. And I was actually gifted with a $50 American Express gift card on the spot. And it was legitimate. Everything was all good. I actually ended up using that gift card to buy my prom shoes. But I thought that was really cool to be able to have experience on both sides of this type of opportunity. Okay, so video shots are a great way for companies to capture exactly what is happening during sales presentations or, you know, other scenarios when it relates to their employees and how they operate. This usually requires you to invest in a body cam, which can be a tax write-off. And we'll actually talk about some of the different tax write-offs you can do as a mystery shopper a little bit later. For competitor shops, this generally involves you shopping two or more establishments of the same industry to compare different things like service or pricing. I've actually done this type of shop as well. It was for tire shops, and it was an interesting experience because one of the tire shops actually failed the evaluation because they had employees in the background of the phone call who were horseplaying. So this was something that I did have to record in the shop details. And I'm sure that there were repercussions for, you know, the fact that that was a part of my experience. So for franchise compliance shops, this type of shop ensures that each location in a company is consistently providing the same types of promotional materials, service, and other criteria that will be shared with you at the time that you are issued or assigned a shop. This is also a great way for companies to make sure that policies and procedures are being followed in accordance with their company standards. Web surveys are another type of shop. These are often used to gauge things like the ease of navigating a company website or whether appropriate information is being provided on that website, as well as verifying the functionality of features like the Contact Us section. I've actually had mystery shops where the Contact Us section wasn't working correctly. And so when companies, you know, have mystery shops performed for their companies, these are the types of things that they're looking for. So now we're going to talk about the business of mystery shopping. So here are a few things to know. First, as a mystery shopper, you generally are not considered an employee. You are considered an independent contractor. You work on a contract basis and you pay your own taxes. Each company has their own job board or a map of whatever their current opportunities are. These opportunities can vary across different industries. They can have different stipulations and criteria. So it just depends on what they have posted. Let me go back. Some shops may be self-assigned. In my experience, the majority of the shops that I have done I think it's been about 8 years that I've been doing mystery shopping. The majority of those shops were self-assigned, and others have to be approved based on whatever the criteria is for the company. For example, sometimes high-end restaurants may require you to exceed a specific income threshold, or luxury shops may require you to show up dressed accordingly. Car shops may require you to arrive in like a late model vehicle. So it just depends. I personally just err on the side of caution and always dress business casual because, you know, I'm dressed in a way that is conducive for most environments where I'll be mystery shopping. Okay, so sometimes there is an investment required to actually complete a shop. So if you're doing a restaurant shop, you may be required to make a purchase, buy a meal, or if you are doing a retail shop, you may be required to just buy like a candy bar just to get a receipt to prove that you were at the location. Or there are shops that I've done where you had to do a hotel stay. And so you had to obviously have, you know, proof that you had that overnight stay. So it just depends on what the shop is. So mystery shopping companies generally do not provide monetary compensation up front in order for you to complete a shop. So for me, I've always had a credit card or, you know, just extra money to be able to cover if I had to make some type of purchase because the mystery shopping companies don't pay you that up front. Generally, what they will do is reimburse you for items that you may have purchased that were a part of the shop. And usually that amount is capped. So, for example, I've had shops where that were called alcohol compliant shops. And so I will go into a grocery store to purchase alcohol, and generally they cap the amount that they'll reimburse you up to about $10. Generally, it's between $4 and $6, but I have had shops that paid up to $10 as a reimbursement for alcohol. Other times, like with restaurant shops, I have had anywhere between $35 to $60 as the amount that would be reimbursed. And for those shops, generally, you're required to go by yourself or to only go with one other person. I have visited some really awesome restaurants as a result. And so those meals ultimately ended up being free because I stayed under the threshold of what they allotted. Always be aware of these details because if you have a situation where you're supposed to make a small purchase to get a receipt and you don't actually do that, they will void your shopping. You won't get paid. So, a few things to know about being a mystery shopper. The disclaimer, of course, I am not a tax accountant. So, I'm only sharing things that I have done over the years that have allowed me to maximize my tax return. So these are things that I have done and things that have I have done successfully, but you choose to do these things at your own risk. So there are a few different types of write-offs or a few different things that you can write off or things that I have written off before, which have been home office space, because in a sense, being a mystery shopper partially is a home-based business. You do have to have access to a computer and, some supplies, notebooks, pens, things of that nature. Mileage and auto expenses have been another thing that I have written off for mystery shopping. Paid apps. Most of the apps that I have used are free, but if, as with any type of business expenses, anything you use for the purpose of completing a mystery shop, generally you can write those things off. Now, you will only receive a 1099 if you gross over a certain dollar amount. As of the last time I checked, that threshold is $600. If you make a minimum of $600, then you'll receive a 1099 form. And that obviously you'll provide to the person who does your taxes. And then, they can go through the information you provide that go or your write-offs that go along with that. Okay, so the Mystery Shopping Providers Association, or the MSPA, is an organization that was created for mystery shoppers, as well as merchandisers and evaluators and other positions in the field. But this is a professional trade organization. They have over 450 member companies worldwide, and they also provide educational materials and certifications to their members. They also coordinate events. They have a Shopper Fest conference that they do most years. I don't believe they did it this year or last year because of COVID, but it's something to think about if this is something that you want to do consistently. The basic membership for the MSPA allows you to be listed in their independent contractor database. This just really just kind of validates you as a mystery shopper. It gives you access to different resources such as their members-only Facebook group, their newsletters, courses that you can purchase, and other researches. I'm sorry, resources. So you can research this information by going to their website. The skills that you need to be an effective and successful mystery shopper, you have to be detail-oriented. There will be times that you have to, recall what someone was wearing, or names, descriptions, the times that you had to record, as far as when something may have been delivered to you if you were in a restaurant, or tracking how long things took. So details are really important for mystery shopping. So you have to be a detail-oriented person. Your writing skills have to be on point. When you fill out the evaluations, you have to be able to write with, good grammar. You have to, of course, have your punctuation together. All of those things matter when it comes to doing your evaluations. Customer service is important because if you actually have to interact with employees or other customers in an establishment, you need to be able to have a good rapport with them. And then honesty is important because when you provide your evaluation details, you have to provide accurate details. And this is also important because many establishments have cameras. And so if the information that you provide is inconsistent with what an establishment shows, it can affect your status as a mystery shopper. So just keep that in mind. And then the last thing, you have to have a great memory. You have to be able to recall the things that you see and experience. So moving on, we're going to talk about how to actually complete a shop from start to finish. So first, what happens after you have signed up for the particular mystery shopping company? You want to go and access their job board and select shops based on the requirements and your availability. So, if the requirements are that you have to go to a specific location and you have to be there for a minimum of an hour, you have to make sure that you can meet those requirements and make sure that you are actually available to do that. You want to always wait until you receive confirmation that the shop has been assigned to you before you actually perform the shop, because if you perform a shop that you have not actually been assigned or received confirmation for, you will not be paid for your time. You want to make sure you thoroughly review the shop instructions and familiarize yourself with the things that need to be evaluated, because these things are the reason why the shop needs to actually be completed. So the more you familiarize yourself with those things, the better information you'll be able to provide when you actually do your evaluation. Also, you want to actually prepare for your shops. So if you have a series of shops that you're going to perform and they are at different locations, you want to make sure that you have the correct locations and addresses, that you have confirmed the shop, that you have submitted any online leads if that's required. All of these things will vary and differ. And so you want to make sure, like I said, you familiarize yourself with those shop instructions so that you can prepare appropriately. So, one of the tips that I wanted to share is that if you have multiple shops in the same day, I highly recommend that you actually create a map with the most efficient route so that you don't waste your time and gas. So this screenshot is actually from Google Maps. And so I had four different shops for alcohol compliance shops. So I literally created a map. And so although it only was four shops, it's still, the commute time was 35 minutes. But because of the length of time that I needed to spend at each location, it actually ended up taking me about 2.5 hours to complete those shops. So it's just important, and it's more efficient to do it this way, so that you can maximize your time. So after you've signed up for the shop and it's been assigned to you, you want to proceed to complete the shop. Always double check your address. Make sure you're at the correct location, because as I mentioned before, pay will be voided if you shop the wrong location. Make sure you pay attention to all aspects of your experience and make sure that you are discreetly capturing the details that are needed for your evaluation. Never forget to get your receipt, business card, picture, or whatever other required information is necessary for you to prove that you perform that shop. What I like to do is actually take a picture of the receipt or business card once I get to my car, so that if I happen to lose it, I still have a picture of it. A picture is always sufficient because generally you're going to have to take a picture or scan it in order to add it to your evaluation. So always take a picture. And with regard to photos, I generally wait until after I've completed a shot to take a picture unless it's required as a part of the evaluation. So let's just say, for example, if you have shots that require you to use the GoSpot Check app, and I'll talk about that app in a couple of minutes. But sometimes the questions that are asked within the app require you to take a picture of the price on the shelf or of a product. And so because of that, obviously, you're going to need to take that picture while you are in the process of actually performing the shop. But if you have a shop where you are required to take a picture of the entrance or the outside of a location, I recommend that you always wait until you have completed the shop, so that you don't tip off the employees or those who are in the business to the fact that you are a mystery shop. If you do this on your way in, they're going to kind of try to watch you and, you know, pay attention to what you're doing. But if you just blend in like you're a shopper or like you're a part of the establishment, you draw less attention to yourself. So always wait until afterwards to take the picture of the outside of the establishment. Okay, so you always want also make sure that you have stayed at the shop location for the minimum required time. Generally, you're required to provide the time of arrival and the time of departure. And if you falsify this information, because as I mentioned before, most establishments have cameras, it is grounds for your shop pay to be voided, as well as possible termination of your shopper agreement. The reason why this is key is because, as with most industries, there are always scammers. There are always people who try to do the bare minimum to still get paid. And so if the shop instructions require you to be on location for a minimum of 25 minutes, then you have to clock that and you have to make sure that you are adhering to what those stipulations are. So another tip that I wanted to provide, and something that I mentioned earlier, was the need to have a notes app. Like I said, you know, I usually keep multiple apps open so that I can toggle back and forth if I need to, so that nobody sees what I'm recording. I also try to use shorthand or different types of text lingo so that, you know, I'm not spending too much time taking notes, because you're having to pay attention to multiple things when you're mystery shopping. So if you're spending all your time taking long notes in an unnecessary way, you know, sometimes you do have to spend a little bit of time on notes if, you know, the situation calls for it. But on a general basis, you just want to be as efficient as possible with your note taking. And as I mentioned before, having good grammar, spelling, punctuation, all of those things are important for when you actually complete your evaluation. And always charge your phone, because as you can see in this screenshot, I was on 7%. And I do believe that my phone died that night. But this was a shop where I had to evaluate a restaurant. As you can see, I have timestamps for each thing that I, you know, was recording for. And so, as you can see, I put a description here for, you know, who seated me, then who greeted me, and then timestamps for when the order was placed, when the dishes arrived, when they gave us drinks, or when they gave me a new water. And then, you know, they went over some information about the dessert, bread pudding, and I made a note to myself to see the time on the receipt. That's another tip that I like to share. Sometimes, you know, if you get caught up in the moment and you forget what time you signed, or, you know, whatever that last timestamp is that you're supposed to record, always use the time that is printed on the receipt as a guide. Because if you're paying attention, you can kind of gauge whether 2 or 3 minutes went by, or if it was 10 or 15 minutes went by before they came back. So just something to be mindful of as you do the shots. So, as soon as you can, after you have completed the shop, go ahead and complete the evaluation. Generally, companies will give you anywhere from 12 hours after the mystery shop to a few days after the mystery shop to submit an evaluation. But in any situation, if you try to submit an evaluation past the deadline, they start to do pay deductions or pay will be voided altogether. And it also results in low evaluation scores, which we'll talk about in a minute. Now, as far as the pay deduction, I have had shops where they took off a dollar for every day I was late, up to like 3 or 4 days. And then after those few days, they completely canceled the shop. So I have had that happen before. So I know from experience, yes, they will actually deduct, and yes, they will actually cancel your shops. So it's important to be timely with completing the evaluations. As I mentioned, dates can range or deadlines can range from 12 hours to a few days later. And sometimes it can take the shop editor anywhere from 3 to 5 days to complete the review of your evaluation. So you want to make sure that you monitor your emails in case more information is requested from you. After the evaluation review has been completed, you should receive an email from your shop editor stating what your shop grade is, as well as any comments concerning your evaluation. So I wish I had actually included a screenshot of one of these emails, but generally, if you did a great job, they'll actually tell you you did a great job and that they want to see more of whatever you did. If you didn't do a good job or if they had things that they felt could be better, they also share those things, the constructive criticism. And this is important because for me, I know that this has helped to make me a better mystery shopper. So as far as the shop grades, they generally are on a scale from 1 to 10, with 1 being unsatisfactory and 10 being excellent. You want to shoot anywhere between the 8 to 10 range. And if you consistently grade low on evaluations, it'll result in fewer opportunities that you're approved for. Consistent high scores will actually result in schedulers reaching out to you directly when they have a high demand. This is something that I have experienced for at least the last 6 years that I have been a mystery shopper. They often reach out to me directly because they know that when I complete my evaluations, that my writing skills are on point, that I turn my evaluations in almost immediately after I complete shops. And that I consistently, provide information that goes above and beyond what they call for. So it's no different than any other opportunity in life. When you operate in excellence, you are rewarded for that. So, as far as compensation, the income potential for mystery shopping is really based on the effort that you put forth. The more complex a shop is, the higher the pay, but also the more you make yourself available to do mystery shopping, the more money you can make. I personally only do mystery shopping on a very part-time basis. Some months I don't do mystery shopping at all because it's a stream of income for me. It's not my primary source of income. So I generally set a monthly goal, or set a goal for the month in which, I want to actually spend my time doing mystery shopping and merchandising. And I'll assign my shop, my assign myself shops until I actually meet that goal. There was a point when I used this opportunity just for gas money and car maintenance, but now it's just supplemental to the other things that I do. The most that I have made in a single month on a part-time basis, and like I said, I'm very part-time, so generally I'm just doing Saturdays and Sundays, was around $300. And I was working for two different companies at the time, and so I would just, assign myself shops until I met my goal. In that particular month, I ended up making $300. So, it seems like a small amount, but for me as a single mom, an extra $300 is very helpful, whether it's groceries or buying the kids' clothes. So it just depends on what your situation is. If you do it more often than every weekend, then obviously you're going to make more than $300. But it's, like I said, up to you, and it's based on the effort that you put forth. I know that there are great people. I know that there are people who make great money doing mystery shopping, but as with other gigs like rideshare and things like that, it generally isn't designed to replace full-time income unless you actually strategize. So just keep that in mind. So maximizing your income potential is not difficult. Make sure you know your shop instructions, adhere to all the specifications. Make sure that you ask questions prior to attempting to perform a shop so that you have the clarity that you need to do what you need to do. Make sure that you complete those final evaluations before the deadline. And, this is the recipe for success. As far as payouts, I've only worked with one company that actually pays every other week by direct deposit. That was Bestmark, and they are one of the best mystery companies or mystery shopping companies to actually work for. The other companies that I've worked with only pay once per month in the month after the shop was performed. So, for example, all of the shops that are performed during the month of August are paid out between the 15th and the 25th of September. Now, this has worked for me because it built income for the following month. And, if you're not strapped for cash, it can also be a way of saving money or creating income for something specific. Like if you just want a stream of income to cover one thing like car insurance or utilities, it can be a way for you to do that. I've honestly never encountered any major issues with this type of pay schedule where I get paid the following month. And that particular company I have worked for about 7 years of the time that I've been mystery shopping. So, I know for some people, they want to get paid immediately or they want to get paid soon after they've done the work. But for those companies where I get paid the following month, I've never experienced any issues with a company except for IntelliShop. And I honestly don't work with them as much as I used to. At one point, I stopped working with them completely just because I felt like, if I'm earning money with you and you're having issues with whoever is managing the payouts, I don't need those issues. Y'all have to settle that and fix that. But And honestly, there was never a situation where they did not pay me at all. There was one scenario where they accidentally sent payments that were not supposed to go out. That was a hot mess because it was sent to, so my PayPal account is set up as a business account. So I had to actually pay fees to send them money back, and they never reimbursed me. And then there was another time. I can't remember exactly what, but there were two separate times where I had issues with them paying out money that either shouldn't have been received or the wrong amount was sent. So I was like, I'd rather not even just deal with those issues since there are so many other companies that you can work with. So let's talk about avoiding scams. First of all, legitimate mystery shopping companies do not issue checks up front. So, if someone sends you a check claiming that they are with a mystery shopping company, it probably is a scam. Second of all, if you are asked to deposit a check into your account to perform a mystery shop, it's probably a scam. If you are required to cash a check and send money through Western Union or MoneyGram, it's a scam. And anybody who charges you money to access a job board, scam. So just make sure that you don't fall into those traps. Now let's talk about failed shops for a second. I actually, at some point, signed up for a bunch of automotive showroom shops where I was required to submit an online lead before I went into the showroom. And so when I submitted the submission online, it didn't populate a confirmation message. And generally, you have to either screenshot or take a picture of that confirmation message. Now, even though it was a technical difficulty that wasn't my fault, the mystery shop was voided. But it was my responsibility to communicate that to my scheduler before I moved forward with completing the shop. So just make sure that if something goes wrong, whether it's a glitch in technology or it's an issue when you arrive at a shop, always communicate with your scheduler so that if things have to be shifted around or moved so that you can complete the shop to get paid, you do what you need to do. Also, I had another situation where I was supposed to enter a specific telephone number and I just forgot. I put in my phone number and they voided my shop. So these details that are in the shop instructions are important because if you don't follow them, you may not get paid. So here's a list of mystery shopping companies that I have worked with in the past. It looks like there is one that's duplicated on the left side of the screen, but the rest of them I have worked with. IntelliShop is the one that I mentioned earlier that I don't work with as often because of the issues with their payouts. But by far the best that I have used are Customer Impact and Bestmark. As I mentioned earlier, Bestmark, they do pay bi-weekly by direct deposit. Customer Impact, they pay every month in the month after you complete the shops. So I always make sure that I explain that part because, you know, sometimes people, you know, they miss that particular detail and then want to know when they're getting paid, but that's how their schedule works. And it works. Like I said, I've worked with them for at least, you know, like 6 to 7 years of the time that I've been doing shopping or mystery shopping. So they are legit. Also, the MSPA website has a search feature. So if you ever come across a questionable company, they have a feature where you can plug in the name of the company and confirm whether they are actually listed and backed by the MSPA. Now, even if the company is not actually listed, that doesn't mean that the company isn't legit, but I would just be mindful if you choose to move forward with working with a company that is not listed. So, tools and resources that you'll need to be a successful mystery shopper. Reliable transportation. Sometimes you'll have to travel to shops that are not necessarily down the street from where you live. A computer or a tablet so that you can complete the evaluations as well as go onto the job boards to assign yourself work. And actually, you can do that from a phone. When it comes to completing the evaluations, I do not recommend doing those on a phone because sometimes the evaluations can have in excess of 50 questions. And so it's just much easier and more efficient to do those on a computer. A body cam, if you choose to do video shops. Video shops also generally pay more than other types of shops. Okay, cash or credit card for paid shops. You want to always make sure that you have a few bucks available in case you have to do paid shops. And then business casual attire. I recommend just automatically dressing business casual. Most shops will require you to dress business casual. They generally say no jeans at all. So you just want to make sure that you have at least, you know, one outfit that you can wear that is business casual. And then a bank account or PayPal so that you can get paid. Apps that I use, as I mentioned, Mileage Tracker. I use Stride and they allow me to print reports that I provide to, you know, person who does my taxes. So that's pretty cut and dry. Obviously, navigation. I use Waze. Go Spot Check, I mentioned this app earlier. It's generally used for data collection shops. I have generally used this particular app for price comparison shops. So I've had situations where I had to go into, like one of my favorites was liquor shops where I had to go in and compare the price of a bunch of different types of whiskey, high-end whiskey. So that was pretty cool, just kind of seeing the different pricing on that. And then geo verification. But it is helpful because it allows you to get a link for your location to prove that you are on site. So again, it's not required, but it is a tool that can be used to maximize your experience. So if you have any questions, you are free to actually drop them in the box and I will answer them. I am going to end the recording now. For those of you who have joined and taken in this information, thank you so much for your interest. If you have any further questions that you would like to ask after reviewing the information that has been shared, you're welcome to email me at info@innerbeautyreigns.com. I'll also provide that email address in the email when I send out the replay. Thank you again, and I hope that you guys have a great mystery shopping experience. And if you have any questions along your journey, please feel free to shoot me an email.